He was amazed at their lack of faith. Friends, this is a very stark statement about our Lord. He brings the good news to his hometown, and he also brings the power to break the shackles of sin so the people can be healed and reconciled. And what is he met with? Rejection. Rejection. Initially, we remember that the people, they're very impressed and astonished with his teaching, but quickly jealousy sinks in. Suspicion. Familiarity breeds contempt, as another old saying goes. Why can't they just accept the wonderful reality that he is the Messiah? Because of jealousy. That's why. Which leads them to reject him, not based on the reality of what he's saying and doing. They're not challenging that. But they reject him simply because he somehow is such a great leader now without following the normal path to becoming a great Jewish religious leader. As if there is only one path, but that seems to be their prevailing thought. Why should he get so much attention when they did not? You know, these are people that maybe grew up with them. Maybe some of these people even changed his diapers. You know, they're thinking, how did this guy get here? Come on, why is he so special and I'm not? Something's got to be wrong here. You know, something smells fishy. This guy's, he's some kind of a fraud or a trickster. It's some kind of game here. Sadly, the situation is very similar today. Christ is certainly amazed at the lack of faith in our society and even among many Catholics. Think of, you've heard the term cafeteria Catholics. You know, people that pick and choose, well, I like these church teachings, but I don't like these ones, so I'll reject them. Kind of like in the cafeteria, you're going to take that chocolate pudding every time, but the broccoli, you know, maybe not so much, right? So those are the cafeteria Catholics. What about the camouflage Catholics? Bishop Thomas actually coined this phrase, and this is Catholics just like me. Remember, before I went to Notre Dame, I was afraid to stand up for Christ, to live the faith in a public way, to stand out for him. That's the camouflage Catholics. We want to blend in. That's hence the term. There's so many people leaving the church now. A really crazy number. I think it's about 40% of our young people, about maybe 30, 35 years and younger, are leaving the church. 40%. That's 40. That's a just a horrible number. Here's another one. 80% of Catholics in the U.S. right now don't believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And there's other numbers. There's other numbers. But this isn't the gloom and doom, homily. I'm just highlighting that, you know, he's amazed at the lack of faith in our world today, even in the Catholic Church. Christ is doing wonderful things every single day in our lives and in our communities, but often we overlook or even reject them for various different reasons. One that I'll just highlight here that it is a particularly huge hindrance is scientism. And those that don't know what that term means, it's the belief that the only real truth is science. If you can't scientifically prove something, then it's not really true. This faith stuff that those Catholics and Christians talk about, that's just some kind of medieval superstition and carryover, right? A philosophy, that's just people looking at the clouds all day. They dream these things up. You know, you can't prove it, so just whatever. Yet scientism is actually a lie, and it's an impoverishment of knowledge and wisdom. Because science is only one of many sources of truth, and we need them all. Science is just one piece of the pie. But if we want the full truth, we need all the pieces, including faith and philosophy and others that can't be proven through science. The tragedy of scientism and really all belief systems that pull people away from Christ is that there is no healing without faith in Christ. There is no healing without faith in Christ. We see that clearly in the gospel today. He couldn't heal because the people weren't open to receiving it. See, the fault isn't on God's side, it's on our side because we're not open to him. And every single human being on this earth, regardless of their faith, even if they don't have faith, every single human being needs to be healed by Christ. And yet, this healing isn't magic. Some people think, oh, Jesus is my homeboy. Yeah, all right, Jesus, and you're going to magically be healed. It doesn't happen that way. True, it only happens through Christ, through his passion, death, and resurrection, the graces that flow from that. We can't do it on our own, but it does require something of us. And St. Paul helps us to understand what that something is in today's second reading. Notice how he learns how to depend on God, not on himself, and to seek the healing that God wants to bring about, not the healing that Paul wants and asks God for. instead of removing that thorn in Paul's flesh, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Those beautiful words, we will do very well to remember them often. The whole passage that we have in the scriptures today is one of my favorites in the whole Bible. So beautiful. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Beautiful. This was a lesson that Paul learned very well. Very well. He didn't become the greatest evangelist ever by telling people what they wanted to hear, by being a yes man. Of course not. Quite the opposite. And he paid dearly for it. We know all throughout his writings and the Acts of the Apostles, Paul was beaten and left, or stoned and left for dead. He was beaten numerous times with rods. He was shipwrecked. He was chased out of town. All kinds of things happened to him. And guess what? He was filled with peace and joy through it all. And this is what made him a magnet for Christ. This is what convinced people that the truths of our Christian faith, difficult as they often are, provide the real path to freedom and flourishing. Paul learned that only by embracing his weaknesses and entrusting them to Christ will the power of Christ dwell within him. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ, he exclaims, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, the world laughs at us for things like this. What do you mean you're weak? Paul got beheaded, but Paul was totally free through it all. He was laughing at them as they're persecuting him. For when I am weak, Paul, what he's saying is he learned in his weaknesses to bring them to the cross, to nail them to the cross. Then through Christ's grace, he becomes truly strong. That's what Paul's getting at. That's what he wants us to internalize as well. And now remember that this guy, Paul, he was a golden boy. He was on his way to becoming the next great Pharisee. He was like the main pupil under Gamaliel, who was the greatest rabbi of that time. So Paul was going to be the next great rabbi. And he scoffed at all this Christian stuff. He even became a terrorist against Christians. And yet, after getting knocked off his high horse on the way to Damascus, he struggled forth on this difficult path with Christ, persevering so beautifully when he could have easily taken a more comfortable way. The path was right there for him. And now this brings us to the challenging words of Ezekiel in today's first reading. And it's a challenge for us all. Do people recognize you as a prophet of Christ and have respect for your beliefs, regardless of whether they share these beliefs with you? In other words, do they respect you because you live out these beliefs and you're a person of integrity and they can see that and it's beautiful? Or do they see you as a timid, weak Christian who is afraid to wade into the muddy and often scary waters of today's society, proclaiming and living out the good news? Like me, before I went to the University of Notre Dame. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we share both of these aspects to one degree or another within our person. But if the people respect you as a prophet, then the door is open for evangelization. Even if it's just cracked a little bit, that door is open. And then you can help lead them to Christ's healing grace, the grace that every single human being needs. And that's what Christ calls all of us to do. Okay, friends. The key message today and the key message of the Christian life in general is reflected by the psalmist in today's responsorial, especially the refrain, keep your eyes fixed on the Lord, not on the things of the world. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. Life is tough, no doubt about it. It is hard to be faithful to Christ personally, and also to reach out to others in a world full of obstinate hearts rebelling directly against the Lord. I'm using more of Ezekiel's language. They were sending them out against a pretty tough lot of people, right? Well, we got a pretty tough lot of people, even in the Catholic Church, but outside the church, there's a lot of obstinate hearts, a lot of people rebelling against Christ, right? We're being sent out there. But never forget that His grace alone is sufficient for you, and nothing else ever will be. Nothing else ever will be. Therefore, seek the fullness of knowledge. Don't go after just one piece of the pie like scientism wants us to say. No, seek the fullness of knowledge. And you can only do this by seeking the only one who can truly set you free to flourish, to be filled with His peace and joy through all the circumstances of life, and to bring many others along with you.